Our Father, we are grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of praying together. We thank Thee for the opportunity of looking into Thy Word another day. Now we ask that Thou wilt meet our individual needs as Thou dost see them this hour, and grant our Father an understanding of the Word that will encourage our hearts in Thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together, keeping in mind that at the present time we are studying what is known as the message to the church at Ephesus. We have been looking at this particular message piecemeal because it is all we have had time to do in individual broadcasts. Today, we want to look at the last thing that is mentioned in the message to the church at Ephesus. So I'm going to suggest that we go back to the 8th verse of the 2nd chapter and read the entire message, noticing briefly what we have already recognized, and then realizing what there is yet to notice. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write. We have learned that the word Smyrna means suffering. We have learned that the period that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the second period of church history, went through a time of real suffering. So this makes an appropriate name for it. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. This is a characteristic taken from the vision which John saw in the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. Something that was said about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said to these people in Smyrna who were slated for suffering and the death of a martyr, remember, I lived, I died, and I am alive forevermore. In verse 9 he said, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know what you're doing. I know what you are suffering. I know how poor you are in this world's goods, and yet really you are rich because you are wealthy in the things that count for much. He continues, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I know what you are enduring at the hands of false pretenders to truth. That's what he was saying. They make an outward religious profession, but really they are of the synagogue of Satan. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. This is a figurative expression that describes what was in store for the church at Smyrna. They were going to suffer persecution, and in this particular period of church history they did, at the hands of 10 different Roman emperors. But he gives them a word of encouragement. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. This is a crown, one of five, which is promised to believers. This is not a crown which is promised to individuals who hold out until the day they die. Rather, it is a crown which is given to believers who have to sacrifice their life for their testimony in Jesus Christ. He encourages these people by saying, if this is a necessity, remember there is a reward for you. I will give you a crown of life. Now let us pause here for a moment, because this is as far as we have come in our study of the message to the church of Smyrna. Do you recall when we began the study of these messages, we said they would all follow somewhat the same general outline? The name would be significant. There would be some characteristic of the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the first chapter. Then there would be compliments. Then there would be criticisms and warnings, and then an appeal to individuals so that individuals could do what Christ wanted them to do, whether the whole church wanted to do it or not. If you were listening as I gave you this general outline, you realize that in the message to the church at Smyrna, there is not one criticism and there is not one warning. Not one criticism, not one warning. And of course, we can understand the reason for that. We know that when we have found very difficult situations in our own lives, we have been driven into the bosom of God. We have been driven close to Him. And the closer we live to God, the less apt we are to do that which is displeasing to Him. The closer we live to God, the less likely we are to follow the dictates of the devil. This church at Smyrna was a suffering church, and so there was no need to criticize. They were living well-pleasing to God. The individual appeal is found in the 11th verse, where we read, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Notice the phrase, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." This is a familiar phrase in the book of the Revelation. Dr. Walter L. Wilson used to say, this means that if an individual has only one ear, he's still responsible for what God says. There is a sense in which this is true, but actually I believe it has a deeper meaning than that. I think that it refers to the spiritual ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. We may have one physical ear or two physical ears and not hear the voice of the Spirit of God because we are not tuned in on the same wavelength. We are missing the message. That's the reason why, as the message to the church at Smyrna closes, the Spirit of God says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Tune your spiritual ear into spiritual things. This is a necessity, for the Bible tells us that spiritual things are spiritually discerned, that the natural man, the unsaved man, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness unto him. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, tells us that even the carnal man will find it difficult to understand the things of God because he is living in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. May God awaken our spiritual ears this morning that we may be able to listen to God's truth. May God awaken our spiritual ears today that we may be able to lay hold of the truth that God would have us know. And what do we read? "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh will not be hurt of the second death." This is a promise to the overcomer. There is one in every message to every church who is an overcomer. An individual may say, "Well, that is what disturbs me. I'm not an overcomer. I live defeated life most of the time. I don't know what it is to overcome. So this promise is not for me." We remind you today of what we have already pointed out to you in our study of the book of the Revelation, that the definition of the overcomer is found in the first epistle of John, chapter 5. Who is he that overcometh? He that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. What is it that overcometh the world? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the word overcomer does not mean strictly that you must live in a constant state of victory. Rather, it means that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. If you exercise your faith, even though you may fail upon this earth, as many people in the church at Smyrna did, they were killed as martyrs for the cause of Christ. Still, a promise was held out to them, and that is, they could not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death? Well, the second death is described for us in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. It is eternal death. If the Lord Jesus Christ tarries, all men will die physically one day. There is no way to escape physical death. But thank God, there is a way to escape the second death. Men die physically, that is the first death. Men unsaved stand before the great white throne, as is described in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. They hear the report read concerning them. Their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because they never decided for the Lord Jesus Christ. The books of works are opened, and their works are measured, not with the idea of obtaining eternal life, but with the idea of determining their eternal destiny in hell. And when all the records are in, reported, and read, they are cast into eternal fire. And the Spirit of God says, this is the second death. God gives promise to all Smyrna Christians, though you may suffer physical death at the hands of men who care not for Christ, I give you promise today, you will not be hurt of the second death. We trust you are members of the church at Smyrna in this sense.